The Cure with Amy Cabo. Life can bring many difficult situations, domestic violence, addictions, poverty, and even sexual abuse by your loved ones. Welcome, Amy Cabo and The Cure.
Good afternoon and welcome to The Cure radio show. I'm your host, Amy Cabo, joined by Boris, my other half. The show is live, airing from New York, and you can hear the show through our app called The Cure, or our website, amyspurpose.com. And later, if you do miss it, it will become a podcast. This show deals with suffering and the tenacity of the human spirit, the will to survive, and the courage to keep moving forward, despite any obstacle, with the help of God and each other. We do provide testimonials to let people know that they're not alone. And in this show, the testimonial started with me, having been a survivor from child abuse in well into young adulthood. We also have experts in the medical field and inspirational speakers that are willing to help and give valuable information, knowing that awareness is vital and transparency is needed. I believe we all suffer or have suffered from something, and we hope to be a source of healing. My healing came from God, but other forms of healing are presented as well to service everyone. Life can be very challenging, but always know there's always someone who cares. That was Good Thing by Sed Kalani. Sometimes we feel that we have a good thing, that the grass is greener on the other side, but we have no idea what people suffer. We really don't. And people can suffer from many different things. They can suffer from sudden stardom before we realize that what we believe was a good thing was really a fallacy, after all. And God always has something better in mind. Today's show is about redemption. As Peter 2:9 says, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promises, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Psalm 107:2 says, let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story, those he redeemed from the land of the foe. Today, we are blessed to have Dario Herrera with us today. At age 22, Dario got elected to the state legislature in Nevada. At age 25, he got elected to the powerful Clark County Commission. At age 28, he won the Democratic nomination for the House of Representatives, 3rd District in Nevada. And not long after, Dario was convicted and sentenced to 50 months in federal prison for his role in a public corruption scandal. So he went from the future of the Democratic Party to inmate number 386218. Dario Herrera is now one of the country's top branding and marketing experts, having helped some of the most well-known brands in the entertainment industry, and has had a tremendous story of remarkable success, failure, resilience, and redemption. As the owner of a boutique branding and digital marketing company, he helps entrepreneurs and businesses share their authentic story, build online community, and drive more revenue. He works with authors and speakers, celebrities, nonprofits, and small to medium-sized businesses. But his story is so much more than the entrepreneurial business. Abandoned by his father at age 2, again by his mother at age 15. Adios drive and resilience led him to college, where he graduated summa cum laude and with the Department of Honors. He leveraged his academic achievement and campus involvement into a campaign position, and then Governor Bob Miller's team, where he led the grassroots organizational outreach effort. He quickly became a star in politics before his self-sabotage and shame came up to him in what became one of Nevada's biggest political scandals. While he served his sentence, Dario became a church leader, mentored to young inmates, and taught in the GED program. Upon his release, he worked to repair the damaged relationships with his young children and the Las Vegas community. He is a motivational speaker for Stand Up. He serves those in how to stand up after anyone who has fallen down. Dario, thank you for being with us, and welcome to The Cure.
Thank you, Amy. Thank you, Boris. How are you guys doing today? How's New York treating you?
Pretty cold. And I hope you had a great New Year, Dario. Thank you.
Yes, Happy New Year to you, and Happy New Year to your listeners. And I want to take a moment real quick, Amy and Boris. You know, we've gotten confirmation that there have been some airstrikes in Balad that have targeted basically U.S. officers. And I just want to take a moment of silence and prayer and really extend, in these times of difficulty and conflict, you know, prayer to all those military servicemen and women who are in harm's way and their families, that may God be with them and may they always be protected. These are difficult times for us.
Thank you for that moment of silence.
Thank you.
For prayer for those that have fallen. And thank you so much, Dario, for that. Dario, here's the thing. This is crazy. I can't believe that at 22 you were in politics. How is it that somebody gets involved into politics at such a young age?
Yeah, and sometimes, I mean, it's been my life, and I often still, when I reflect on it, you know, can't believe that I was given that opportunity. And, you know, I had never been involved in politics. My family wasn't politically connected or politically oriented. I went to UNLV to attend college here in University of Nevada, Las Vegas, and came as a business finance major. And then I took my first political science class from my professor. Her name was Dina Titus. She's now a congresswoman, longtime state senator in Nevada. She's a congresswoman now. And I fell in love with politics. I fell in love with the topic. I fell in love with the stories. I fell in love with the opportunity to make a difference. And I found myself in different environments where, you know, politics kept coming up. And, you know, I was never a good student in high school. I was at best a marginal student and did just enough to get by, really, and stay academically eligible for football and basketball and baseball, et cetera. But I took college a little bit differently and very seriously. And, you know, I got a 4.0 my first semester. I got a 4.0 my second semester. And I was exploring new topics and learning new subjects. I started to get involved in campus politics. I started to get involved in campus organizations, the Organization of Latinos, the Pre-Law Association, et cetera.
And then what was the driving force? It's incredible because your father abandoned you and your mother abandoned you. I mean, you must have been an orphan. Life was really tough for you. And
you know, it was hard, Amy. But I also had somewhat of a support system. For example, my basketball coach, you know, really looked after me. My sister and I, you know, she's a year older than me. We lived by ourselves for most of high school. I was 15. She was 16. We had jobs. We paid rent. We got ourselves to and from school, to and from work. But my basketball coach was really a big influence in my life. But I think part of it, and I don't talk about this very often, but I think part of it was God's work, honestly. If you look at a kid from my background and my experience, you know, I don't know where the drive came from. You know, something clicked And I went from a marginal student. I was smart, but I didn't do the work. I wasn't interested in school. I had a lot of anger and resentment, you know, because of what was happening, you know, to me and my family. And I was a discipline problem. I acted out. I behaved very badly. I had a bad attitude.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes God is always there, and sometimes we fall. Oh, we fall astray. And that's what we'll talk about next. I'm Amy Calvo, and this is The Cure. We will continue talking about falling and rising in life when we return.
We will be right back with Amy Calvo and The Cure.
Life can bring many difficult situations. Domestic violence, addictions, poverty, and even sexual abuse by your loved ones. The issue is not stay there, but to overcome all obstacles and show that with the love of God, your husband, and your family, you can succeed. Love is the answer, God is the cure, reveals Amy Cabo's life. A warrior who didn't give up and achieved the dream of her life. You can get to know more about her and her story on GodIsTheCure.com or buying her book on Amazon.com.
Now we will continue with Amy Cabo and The Cure.
Hi again. This is The Cure. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Amy Cabo. For those who have just joined us, we are talking to Dario Herrero about redemption. The show is live, airing from New York, and you can check our app, The Cure, with Amy Cabo. That was Rescue by Lauren Daigle. God always hears your SOS. Even the slightest whisper, he's always present and eager to help. Heaven is equipped with the most powerful army that God will send to find you in the middle of the darkness and will always rescue you. We are talking to Dario Herrera, who is sharing his story, helping us with how there's always an opportunity for redemption, no matter how you feel, where you've been, or what you've been. Which brings me to my next question, Dario. Something went wrong, and it's not that things haven't gone wrong in your life already. You know, you've known about that since a young age. But then, just when everything seemed to be going your way, life has its ups and downs, and something must have hit hard, because you went from a rising star in politics to a prison inmate. Because you accepted bribes from a strip club owner. What happened?
Oh, such a difficult question, honestly. I have, as you can imagine, thought about that very, very deeply. I've prayed about it. I've meditated on it. I've gone through therapy to really understand that. And I think the common answer I come up with is I didn't feel like I deserved success. I didn't feel like I was worthy of the trust that people had given me. I didn't feel, subconsciously, of course, qualified to be in such an important position of power. I, you know, came from really being abandoned multiple times. And in retrospect, you know, my self-love, my self-worth was seriously lacking. And I was looking for it. And I think, you know, going back to your earlier question, what got me into politics, I think, you know, part of the validation you get from people, even though it's not always sincere or authentic validation, you know, really kind of fills part of that need, that lack that I felt of love and attention, you know, from my family growing up. And I lied to myself. I said, yes, I can, you know, accept bribes from such and such without it affecting my decision-making, without it making me partial to that person or to their issues. I didn't think anyone was looking. I thought myself above the law. And, you know, where those thoughts came from, where those actions came from, you know, I think we can talk about that forever. But the bottom line is I knew better. I fell into the temptation of power and money and women. And it took my career, obviously, in a very, very different direction and very, very quickly. And most importantly, it had a tremendous impact on my family. You know, I lost my wife. I was estranged from my children. And the hardest part of the entire process was, you know, that losing my family. And then secondarily, knowing that I ran for office to restore faith in politics, faith in the process. And I did exactly the opposite. I confirmed what people believe about politics. I let the people who support me down. I basically betrayed the trust that had been given me. And that was really the most difficult part. It wasn't the newspaper coverage. It wasn't having helicopters fly over my house or, you know, my career being over in politics. It was more the realization that I let people down, the people closest to me and the people who had, you know, put their faith in me. I disappointed them in the worst way possible.
You're one of the greatest ex-politicians I know, and thank you so much for your honesty. That happens to so many of us, Dario. You don't need to be a politician. I've been praying rosaries since I was a little girl, and I fell. I got lost. I went into the crazy world of what was a fallacy, what I thought would have made me happy, what I thought was what I needed. And it's really refreshing when your eyes are opened and you see what's really important in life and what really counts.
I have to say, I have so much admiration for you, Amy. You know, obviously, I've read your book and I see, you know, the work you do, not just with the show, but in your public speaking and the things you do in the community. And you're such an inspiration to all of us, right? And, you know, things that you experienced as a young girl and your development are horrible, and yet you maintain faith. You continue to believe. You continue to serve. And I have to say, you know, you're really an inspiration to me personally, and certainly to, I know, the community that you're building. Online and offline, you know, your story is remarkable. And I just wanted to recognize you for that, because it's the stuff that you went through and the life you're living today and the family you've built is nothing short of a miracle. It's obviously, you know, divinely inspired, divinely guided. But I think, you know, what you've done to prepare yourself to receive those blessings is nothing short of incredible.
All I can say, Dario, is thank you, but all I can say is that God is extremely good. And people like you and I and those we know and those around us that are beautiful are proof of that. Because there's so much good. And it's refreshing. How did you handle the downfall, the getting sentenced, the losing your family? Was that an awakening call for you? Or did that drive you down the wrong path even further?
I think more than an awakening, it was, and I know people are surprised when I say this, but it was a relief. I remember when I surrendered and I was sitting in the holding cell before I got transferred to the federal prison camp. I remember feeling relief. Relief in that I no longer had to live a life that wasn't mine. Relief that I didn't feel like a fraud anymore, that I had to pretend to be someone who I wasn't, that I had to make people happy, and that I could, you know, come to terms with the things that I did. And that I could really, in that moment, make one of two choices, you know, live in denial and blame other people for, you know, the things that I did, or accept responsibility and really begin to start the repair process, and not just with my family, but with myself, right? And really start the long journey of keeping a relationship with my children, trying to, you know, honor their mom as best as I could, you know, as I was serving time. And certainly, you know, trying
that's
to start
the only way to heal. That
myself.
Really is the only way to heal when you come to terms with what you've done. I'm Amy Cabo, and this is The Cure. Please call if you want to share your story of redemption. Oh, sorry, you can't call.
we'll be right back with Amy Cabo and The Cure.
Welcome back, guys. This is The Cure, and I'm Amy Cabo with Boris, always sitting by my side. You can listen to us live every Saturday at 1 p.m. on your radio. We also have an app, The Cure, and our website, amyspurpose.com. The show is live from New York. That was God kind of working it out. I love it. Any day that goes by, every single day, I thank God for helping me make it through. I know what it feels like when I can not make it anymore. I know what it feels like when you feel like you've done all you can do. And I know what it feels like for nobody to want me. I can continue. But every single time, God worked it out. How often do we worry about making ends meet or living paycheck to paycheck? Yet every time we somehow make it, every time we find a way, always if we have God in our lives, not if we're lost. But most of the times, we worry for nothing. How many times does God have to work it out for us to finally trust that He will? God is a huge stress reliever. As I recently learned in a Facebook post, that stress, worry, and fear is a lie. Don't believe the hype. That's pickpocket. We are talking to Dario Herrera about redemption. Dario, you have quite a successful marketing company, and you've worked with some famous people and well-known brands. How did you go from inmate to CEO and co-founder, successful marketing company, and become successful again?
It's interesting. Before I went to serve my time, I had always worked in a marketing capacity. I had been a partner in a well-known advertising agency in Las Vegas. I had my own marketing and consulting company. I had worked at the community college and helped them with their communication strategy, in particular, you know, targeting, you know, Hispanic students or potential Hispanic students. And when I got home, it was really difficult to find a job. And even though I had been chairman of the county commission, you know, it was hard. It was very hard. And I remember taking the bus ride home and thinking, what do I do now? And I called my attorney. And my attorney was also a very good friend of mine. And he helped me get a job selling printing. I didn't have a car. I didn't have a Rolodex anymore. Of course, you know, people were very reluctant to return my call because of what I had done and the stigma, you know, surrounding me. And I went to work. I accepted a job that was basically a low-level paying job and some commission. And I went door-to-door selling printing, selling business cards, selling flyers, selling brochures for a eco-friendly printing company. And I worked my butt off. And you can imagine, you know, I had a bike at the time. Me riding my bike in the summer of, I got home in June of 2009, and I started to work immediately, and I had no car at the time.
Did you learn anything in prison? You know, sometimes when you go to prison, you read the Bible.
You know, I certainly read the Bible, and I, you know, read, you know, many other books, but I think I always had a knack, honestly, for brand building, storytelling, and, you know, connecting with people at an emotional level. I think it's part of what helped me in politics was my ability to, you know, connect with an audience and, you know, tell a story, right? And, you know, I think that's part of the foundation that I had, but I got given a chance. After the printing job, I got hired as a chief marketing officer for a private college. And, you know, we grew their enrollment, you know, very quickly. And then I got married and I moved to the Bay Area, and I had trouble, you know, finding work in the Bay Area because of my background. And there I wasn't, unlike Las Vegas, I had no network in the Bay Area. It was just, you know, my wife and me. And we basically were trying to figure out what was I going to do. And then, very interestingly enough, the gentleman who was the jury consultant on my case was a jury consultant for this Cuban business owner who had done very well, but also had to serve federal time. And he said, you should reach out to him. So I did, and they gave me a trial. They basically put me on staff, and I surpassed their expectations. I, you know, did more than they expected me to. I was very successful. And then, you know, my wife, you know, Shelly, her brother is, you know, the music superstar Pitbull. And he was going through a transition in his organization. She was helping him through that. And he needed, you know, marketing help, in particular, you know, social and digital media. So I started learning about social and digital media. And we did a good job for Pitbull. And then we worked with his vodka company. And then Daughtry, you know, from American Idol, his manager reached out to us. And then before you know it, we had Three Doors Down, the American Music Award, Sony Records, Lil Wayne, and many others hiring us, you know, for our expertise and our ability to help them build their brand online and help them with their objectives.
But wait a second, Dario. I know that you can have a lot of talent and things like that, and they can go to waste if you don't believe in yourself, if you loathe yourself, if you hate yourself. And what was the driving force where you were able to forgive yourself and able to move on and able to rectify your ways?
Well, that, yes. I think the driving force was this desire to make things right with the people that I hurt, and the people that I hurt the most were my children. And I had to provide for them. You know, I had to provide for them. They were without me for a long time. And
so that's when you stop being selfish and you put your family before you. And that's what I wanted to bring out. It's when we put others first and we realize it's not about us. It's not about how I can get ahead, but how can I be a benefit to others?
No, that's a good point, because I never, to me, like, staying down was never an option. To me, letting my political fall being the last chapter in my story was never an option. I knew that some way, somehow, I had to get back on my feet. I had to provide for my family. I had to, you know, repair my relationship with their mom, my children, the community, myself. And I was just never going to let me being indicted, convicted, sentenced, be, you know, the last story of my chapter. And I just went to work. You know, you do a little every day. You chip away at it. You remain strong. And I think, you know, and this is part of what I talk about in my speech called Stand Up. You know, the first thing is you stop telling yourself stories that no longer serve you. And the story for me was that I wasn't capable of being loved, and I wasn't worthy of the position that I had. I stopped telling myself that story. I started to believe in myself. And the second one is, you know, trust that if you do the next right best thing, you are going to be okay, you know, if you trust. And then A, of course, in the stand-up is accept responsibility. And I did accept responsibility. And I served time with guys who blamed it on someone else. They blamed it on the guy who told on them. They blamed it on their partner. They blamed it on the law enforcement. And I knew the only person I had to blame was myself, right? So those are the things that I think, you know, day to day, looking back on it, really took me from, you know, like we've said, being inmate 386-21048 to, you know, someone who became very successful in helping others build their brand and, you know, build a nice company and at the same time take care of my family.
Yeah, I can see where you're coming from, Dario. And I'll tell you that it was a very good thing that you had a conscience, because that means that you're a Christian. And the enemy doesn't waste his time on chumps. He goes towards the people that are precious and important to God, those who can make a difference, those who matter something. You ever wonder why people who have that, most people that have suffered, they're so good, and you're thinking, why do good people suffer? And, or why did this person suffer so much? They're such a good person. And, or why did this person that doesn't care never suffer? Pickpocket's not interested in that. And the best way to think about it, if you were a pickpocket, if you were putting yourself in his shoes, you'd want to bring down God's, you know, generals or highest warriors. That makes sense. And hit him the hardest you can. So that's why I believe you have to pray every day. That's all it comes down to. That's the best defense. That's my best advice for everyone that's listening.
I love that story.
Pray every day
the
without eating.
Story. I love that.
When we're back, we will continue talking to Dario Herrera about resilience, perseverance, and redemption. I'm Amy Cabo, and this is The Cure.
We'll be right back with Amy Cabo and The Cure.
Life can bring many difficult situations, domestic violence, addictions, poverty, and even sexual abuse by your loved ones. The issue is not stay there, but to overcome all obstacles and show that with the love of God, your husband, and your family, you can succeed. Love is the answer, God is the cure, reveals Amy Cabo's life, a warrior who didn't give up and achieved the dream of her life. You can get to know more about her and her story on GodIsTheCure.com or buying her book on Amazon.com.
Now we will continue with Amy Cabo and The Cure.
Thanks for being with us. I'm Amy Cabo, and this is The Cure. You can listen to us live every Saturday at 1 p.m. on our app, The Cure, on your radio, and on social media. Look for Amy's Purpose. The show is live, airing from New York. There's so much suffering in the world and so many bad things that happen. I wonder if it saddens Noel. I don't want him to be sad. I want to be his happy time. And just because we don't see it all in the news, there's so much good in the world, just the same. Because of God's amazing love, I look all around, all that is beautiful, all that I love, and with gratitude, for God created these things, and we're so blessed by this light of the world he has given to us. We are talking about recovery through redemption with Dario Herrera. Dario, I've read that you've given some strong, impassioned, motivational speeches to people who have served time and are trying to get back on their feet. And you're a great example that there's hope for people who have been in jail. So could you tell us more about why you're doing what you're doing and what you hope to accomplish?
Well, I think if my experience and the things that I went through can serve someone else, there's meaning in it. There's power in it. It will have served a purpose. Yes, my political career was crushed because of my selfish and corrupt actions. Yes, my family was affected. But I didn't let that be the final chapter. And I think it's important, given my experience and my desire to serve others, that I share my story and I share the process of, you know, when you fall down, how you stand back up, because there is a process, and the title of the speech that I give is called Stand Up, where Stand Up is an acronym, and it basically, you know, takes us through, you know, the 7 steps that you have to take to get back on your feet. And I touched a little bit on the S and the T and the A, and the N is never give up, right? D is always drive forward. You would understand that even if you change, people will still see you as that person. So you have to have that strength in yourself, that belief in yourself that you truly have changed, even when people don't see that change in you, right? You have to be.
I think it starts a lot with negative talk. I think it starts a lot
for
with
sure.
negative talk. We feel like we self-sabotage ourselves because of negative talk. And psychiatrists want you to believe that, want you to believe you're broken. But I read this book about the things about Satan, and I happen to know that you're not supposed to think negative, and you're not supposed to do bad things. Those are called temptations. It's a little thought. I call it the first stupid thought. Don't go for that. Take a moment to think. It's usually from you or from God. Or the first action, just take a moment to think. You do that enough times, you'll learn not to talk negative to yourself. You'll learn not to do the first stupid thing that comes to mind.
Yeah, that's a great point. And, you know, for me, being able to share my story, not just of obviously my success and how I, you know, climbed the ladder so quickly, but after I fell down, how I got myself back up. If that can help someone else be inspired or have hope for themselves or really quiet that negative talk that, oh, I'll never get back to my feet, or I'll never repair my relationship with my children, or I'll never have an important job, or I'll never be able to forgive myself. You know, those are just negative thoughts. That's not reality. The truth is we all have everything we need within ourselves to live exactly the life we want. And the path is exactly that. The important thing for each of us is to live in the present, align our words with our actions, align our desires with the things we do every day. And if you do that, you can live a big, beautiful life. You can be forgiven. You can reach self-forgiveness. You can get back on your feet and repair those relationships that have been damaged. People will take a chance on you. They will give you a second opportunity. And that's why I do those conversations, those speeches, because I want people to know they're not alone. They're loved, and that they absolutely have everything within themselves to stand up after they have fallen down.
Well, there's always hope as long as there's God. There's always hope, and I feel so bad for people that don't have faith in God, because that's when people give up. I mean, you do good things, and you love others, because you know it makes God happy, because you know God is watching. Tell me somebody who does something good knowing that nobody's watching and just does it. It's not always that something that's going to make you feel good, but it's always something that you know it's right. You know that it's something that is pleasing to God, and that will always take you in the right direction. And even when you have negative talks, you could always say, well, eventually God will help me. I went through many years of custody battles. And that's what I would tell myself when I wanted to feel bad. I'm destined to suffer. I'll never get through this. Eventually, God will help me, until I acted badly. And I did things I was ashamed of. And I felt I was a bad person. And then I had to understand the reality of God's sacrifice, how he's willing to forgive any of us, no matter what we've done. That his sacrifice is the ultimate redemption story.
Yeah, that's beautiful. I agree completely.
And but there's a nickname you have, Dario, called Legendario, on the light and funny side. Where'd you get that from?
That's a funny nickname, Legendario. It comes from I actually play flag football. I'm 46, but I still play flag football like I was, 25. And basically, we were playing a younger team, and they saw a bunch of old guys come on the field, basically, in particular me, with all the gray in my beard. And one of the younger guys, a Cuban kid from Miami, started being very funny and kind of talking trash to his teammates. Oh, we got these old guys. And one of the kids...
kid said, hey, you better not say that. That's legendario. That's the legendario. Because I've been playing like football for so long and won so many championships and traveled the country winning. But that's how it kind of started, and it kind of stuck. I think it's funny. I always, you know, I have my social media channels. I say that because I think it's funny. You know, it's important not to take yourself too seriously. But it kind of just stuck because of that, because of my flag football days.
That's funny.
It makes me feel
young. You know, you're as young as you feel, as long as your mind thinks. You don't have to be so technical. That's what I always say. As long as they feel
it's just a fun thing, gracefully. Yeah, I went from being, you know, almost famous to infamous to legendario. A pretty interesting arc. You know,
well, I was infamous first. Let's see what happens. Dario, we're reaching an end of the show, so maybe a few words for our listeners of encouragement. Just basically let them know there's hope and, you know, anything you'd like for them to hear.
Yeah, thank you, Amy. First of all, obviously, thank you to Amy and Boris for all the work that you do and for the message of hope and faith you deliver every day. I know that you guys have dedicated your lives to this, and I'm grateful to be
it's
a part of it.
The least we can do.
In terms of, you know, parting words, I think I'll go back to the notion that we all really do have everything we need within ourselves to build the life we want. We all have, you know, something to our story, whether it's a difficult childhood or abandonment or self-sabotage or some kind of failure. And the important thing is that we recognize it, we own it, we accept responsibility, and that we have this never-ending belief in ourselves that we have been created to do good things on this planet, to serve others, to help others.
In the Bible.
Meet our potential, and if we hang on to that and if we focus on that every day, everything's going to be okay no matter what happened in the past, what's happening today, or what tomorrow may bring.
Nice. Thank you, Dario. Thank you so much for being with us. It was extremely a very touching testimony. More information can be found
through dudescreating.com.
And thank you to our audio producer, Jasper, for being with us today. Incredible how technology works. He's not even in New York, but thank you so much, Dario, for your patience. Let's pray.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Teacher God, take the reins of my life. Lead me where I should go. Teach me what is best. Help me to persevere when times are tough. When I fail, redeem me and lift me up. In your Son's name I pray. Amen. This is Amy Cabo. You have been listening to The Cure. Please don't forget to check our podcast in the app The Cure or our website, amyspurpose.com. Thank you to our listeners for being with us. And until next week, much love.
And next show, we're going to have a special guest, Antonio T. Smith. We're going to talk about his way of finding success and many interesting ideas about excellent attitude and how to develop it.
Even says we have a creative genius inside of us. Wow. What's that all about?
No.
Nice. So guys, thank you so much. Thank you so much for listening. And I hope it helps.
Thank you for listening to The Cure with Amy Cabo. For more information or to get Amy's book, Love is the Answer, God is the Cure, or to listen to the podcasts of previous shows, visit godisthecure.com.